broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana. USA. You're listening to Forgotten Favorites. On the Worldwide Legend.
Visit our new website at legendoldies.com. Request a song. See what's currently playing. View the weekly schedule in your local time zone and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the Conversation Station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good evening from a very nice Indianapolis, Indiana. A little saddened because of the Pacers' loss today. Not unexpected, though. The better team clearly won that series. But speaking of that, let's turn it over to Chris right now.
Okay, well, sorry, everybody. I got a bit of a cold, so I'm just hanging in here the best I can. First of all, happy Easter. This is April 21st, 2019, show number 38. And first thing I want to do is wish a happy birthday. I found out he's a regular listener. I didn't even know this, but Jim in St. Louis, one of the regular callers to things, he and his wife Marlene call into a lot of the Legend shows. Jim is hitting, he's a 49er like I am, so he's hitting the big 7-0 today. So happy birthday, Jim. Hope you have a nice day and get to do some fun stuff. I know you're going to go out to eat, but I know Marlene didn't feel well, but maybe later in the week you guys will do that. And anyway, so hope you're having a nice day anyway. So our agenda for this evening is we are going to start with the NBA playoffs. And it's an NBA note or two, then the NHL playoffs and a couple of hockey notes. Then we'll do baseball. Then we're going to do some college notes. And then we'll certainly talk a little about the NFL draft, what we know about it. That's coming up Thursday evening. That'll be starting. And we'll talk about that. And then we have one of the people we lost in sports this week is Chet Kopic, who was a sports reporter in Chicago for many, many years and did some national stuff on Sporting News Network. We have some audio with him talking to a guy named Mike North for the last 15 minutes or so of the show. So stay tuned. I hope it'll be a fun show. But first, Sean will tell you where we are and where we're going.
All right. Well, once again, folks, hey, how often does this happen? 420 Easter and Earth Day all back-to-back, so you can get your munchies, eat the eggs, and plant a tree all on back-to-back days.
Hey,
just remember, if you want to leave us a message anytime throughout the week, 773-572-7715, hit pound key when you hear the show pop up, and then do not mark the message private, that way we can all hear it. Also, our friend, we have him tonight once again because they did their podcast early, Ringside Reporter, with our buddy Ringside Robert and the crew, ringsidereporter.com, all your podcatchers, and 773-572-7781. And if you're a pro wrestling fan, my shooting the you-know-what with Sean, feature this last week. We looked at the Montreal Screwjob and coming up this last week we looked at the Macho Man Randy Savage. This week we're going to be reviewing the Montreal Screwjob. 773-572-7867. That's if you're, and those of you that are wrestling fans know what I'm talking about. There's some documentaries going on. That's about it. So let's get in. A lot of stuff, pretty exciting stuff happening in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Playoffs, I mean, it's been kind of, whatever, but there've been some close series. But
yeah, to us Bruins fans, the Montreal Screwjob was in 1979, the too many men on the ice penalty, but that's a whole other story. That wasn't
a good
penalty, but that was too bad. Anyway, we're going to start into the NBA happier moments here, and we'll start on yesterday's games. because we like to do the whole weekend, catch everybody up. So on Saturday, the first game was Philadelphia over Brooklyn. They had a fight and everything, but it was 112-108. And that put Philadelphia in a commanding position, up 3-1. And I think they're playing tomorrow night. I don't have times on all these, but I know they're playing tomorrow. Denver beat San Antonio 117-103. And that tied up that series 2-2. And that's the one series that really seems to be in doubt in the NBA. There's others that kind of...
And they play Tuesday.
And the thing is, the other series are pretty much, you kind of know who's going to win and so forth. We had Milwaukee beat Detroit 119-103. And the Bucks were up 3-0. And again, that's kind of a matter of time.
They play tomorrow.
Yeah, and that should be over soon. And Houston beat Utah 104-101 in Utah after James Harden went 0 for 15. But still, despite that, Houston hung in there. That's a good team for you. When you overcome bad play by or lackluster play by your superstar and you still win the game.
They were outplayed, Chris, by Utah for a vast majority of that game. And they came back and won it. But Utah,
yeah, I heard
for
parts
most
of that
game, outplayed them.
Yeah, I heard parts of that game, and I'm very impressed by that Utah announcer. I like him. So anyway, Dave, what's his name? David who, Perry, do you know his name?
I do not know his last name.
He's David, though, and he's very good. 3-0.
They also play tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So today's games, and Bill alluded to it earlier, the Celtics, first team to move on to the quarterfinals of the league, if you will. Celtics win at 110-106. And really what happened was Indiana played very well this series. They had a lead in the third quarter of every game, unlike some of these other teams that are now. Utah did last night, but like Detroit, so forth. Some of these teams are not in the series at all. You just have no feeling they could even win any of these games. Indiana, in all four games, you had a moment where you thought Indiana could win the game, but they didn't have the firepower they needed. As I told you the last couple of weeks, Gordon Hayward's been playing better. Kyrie's on the ball here. Jason Tatum's doing well. Too many guns for the Pacers. And if Victor Oladipo had been around, they would have maybe won a game or two, but he wasn't. So he was in the building today, and they showed him and stuff. But you could tell it was a pretty dispirited crowd today. They were there, but they weren't really into it that much. So anyway, the Celtics now move on, and they will play probably Milwaukee. I'm telling you what, it'll be close to the Tiger story next week if I'm coming back telling you next Sunday that they're going to play the Pistons. I don't think that's going to happen. And then probably what will happen is they were speculating that if the Milwaukee series gets over, tomorrow night or whatever, that they're apt to play on Sunday. They'll have one of the games on Sunday. So they'll have a nice rest. Both teams will have a nice rest. Kyrie got slightly banged up, so it's good. I'm sure the Bucks wouldn't mind a little rest too. So anyway, Celtics swept that 4-0. So they have moved on. Golden State took a big step in that direction by beating the Clippers today in Los Angeles, 113-105. So now they are up 3-1. Tonight, we have Toronto at Orlando. And that started at 7 Eastern, 2-1. Toronto leads that series. And since the Leafs lost today, they're going to want to at least get some kind of a win today. Well, the Blue
Jays
won, too.
Heard that Orlando was up by 2 points.
Okay.
At the end of the first period, yes.
That, again, could become a series. Because, Toronto doesn't have a great pedigree here in these playoffs. So they've always got to be thinking about that. And then Portland at Oklahoma City at 9:30 Eastern. And it's Portland up 2-1 so far. That's an all-home team series. And so, Robert, there was one little note. We've got another. We're going to talk about John McLeod for a minute, too. But there's one note that you mentioned about some kind of a audio tape came out with
what happened, Chris, was, and then we'll have Robert comment on this. What happened was apparently it was recorded earlier this season, but yesterday the audio was released where Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, said he is tired of Draymond Green's ass.
You know what?
When you shoot the bleep with Sean, that's what he was tired of. So, Robert, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, first of all, whoever the media person was that released this is, he's just trying to create a story. This happened way back in November, towards the beginning of the season, when the Warriors and Clippers played the first time, and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant had their spat in the locker room because at the end of the game, Draymond rebounded the ball, and Kevin Durant was wide open and could have taken the game-winning shot, but Green decided to play like he was Magic Johnson and took it down the court by himself and blew the layup, didn't give the ball to anybody else. They had a big fight at the, in the locker room after the game between the two of them, and that's when Steve Kerr recorded that piece of audio, and of course Draymond Green got suspended for the next game by the Warriors after that event. And this will be the last year of the Warriors dynasty. If they go on and win the championship, which a lot of people expect them to do, I don't think you'll see Kevin Durant in a Warriors uniform anymore.
How about the loss of DeMarcus Cousins? How big of a loss is that?
Well, that is a big loss, but frankly, I've never been impressed with DeMarcus Cousins as a basketball player because I've seen him play almost every game in Sacramento. Yes, he's matured, he's gotten better, but I don't expect DeMarcus Cousins to be back with the Warriors next year. I don't expect Durant to be back with the Warriors next year.
I listened to a game, Robert, with obviously this was an opposing announcer's view, but I think probably it was correct. It was, the announcer was Alan Horton of the Timberwolves when they were playing the Warriors, and as we know, that game kind of had a crazy ending to it.
Yes.
But he said the problem that he sees with DeMarcus Cousins is, and he said this has always been the issue with him, he cannot control his emotions.
Exactly. No, he leads the league every year in technicals, because the NBA rule is if you get 16 technicals during the regular season, you are suspended for
game. Seven in the playoffs.
It's seven in the playoffs. The thing that really irritates me about this whole thing is that the Warriors win the championship, he's going to get a championship ring, and frankly, he doesn't deserve to have a championship ring because he's not a championship level basketball player.
By the way, Chris mentioned David, whose last name we don't know with the Jazz, but I don't know if you've heard much of him, Chris, but Alan Horton is also another good NBA.
Yes, I have in years past. Not so much this year, but I have in years past. I enjoy him when I hear him.
No, I think this, for those that hate the Warriors, and believe me, a lot of people around the NBA are starting to hate the Warriors because they've won so many titles. I don't think you'll have to worry about them being in the NBA Finals next season.
That's kind of an interesting topic, though, too, that we could come up with sometime. And I was talking to my wife last night after I listened to that game, and I said, really, for the Midwest, we have, I suppose if you want to count Denver, we have four announcers. I would say three, but our three Midwest announcers, and I suppose we have four good ones if you count Mark Boyle, but we have Ted Davis with the Bucks, Alan Horton with the T-Wolves, and Chuck Swirsky with the Bulls. We have pretty darn good announcers around here.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Sean?
No, and I was also going to say, there's a lot of guys that don't maybe do or don't deserve a championship ring, but they're on that team. I mean, Jack Daly wasn't a championship player, but he was on those Lakers teams and a good role player. He got
ring. But I'm thinking about players that are troublemakers, Sean. Like, how many rings legitimately does Dennis Rodman deserve? I mean, all he ever did was rebound the basketball,
Right.
Yeah. But also, a couple rumors. A rumor came down. So this is not confirmed, but this is from Peter Vesey. Apparently, Dan Gilbert has had meetings with Rick Pitino about possibly coaching the Cavaliers.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Peter Vesey. Holy
and, of course, we think that one of the leading, if not the leading, for the Lakers is going to be Tyronn Lue.
Yes, right. That's what everybody – that was the other one I was going on to, that Tyronn Lue is pretty much the leading candidate.
Well, that's LeBron's coach, that people thought LeBron and he got along very well with him.
After all, LeBron James is the unnamed president of the Lakers, so he's
correct.
Making all those –
That's right, and that's why I don't think Kobe's going to get involved, because he was the unnamed president of the Lakers, so why would he try to work with another unnamed president of the Lakers?
Exactly.
Well, and I think a lot of people thought that when Lou was coaching in Cleveland and LeBron was in Cleveland, LeBron could pretty much tell him what the rules were, and he went along with it.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one thing I want to sneak in before the NBA, we had a notable passing in the NBA, John McLeod, who coached a long time. He's a college coach, too. I'll run down his resume. He was 81 years old. He coached at Oklahoma – from 67 through 73. Then he coached the Phoenix Suns from 73 through 87, which included their finals appearance against the Celtics in 76 in that triple overtime game that they lost. And then a couple of other shots at the Lakers trying to get back to the finals. He went to Dallas for 87 through 89. He went to the Knicks in 90 and 91. Then he went to Notre Dame. I had forgotten he even coached there.
Yeah, he was at Notre Dame, yes.
Yeah, 91 through 99. And then back at Phoenix as an assistant coach from 99 to 2000. And then, let's see, he died of Alzheimer's disease. So that should be mentioned because quite a coaching resume for him.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now we'll go to the NHL. And let me find that. We've got.
Boy, am I a happy NHL fan this week.
Yes, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Well, we should mention the series that are over that didn't end this weekend in a real shocker. And not so much. Well, even the who won it, Columbus, knocking out Tampa Bay four games to none. And it's the first time that since we've had expansion, since the 67-68 season, that the top team has been knocked out in the first round with no victories. So this is quite a collapse by Tampa Bay, starting with that, blowing that big lead in the first game, and they never recovered from that. And they were knocked out. And not so much that the Islanders beat the Penguins, because the Islanders had home ice, so that's okay. But again, another sweep, and that's the kind of series you would have expected to go six or seven game. But the Penguins never did get that together, and so that was it. So then moving on to the weekend, on Saturday, we had Dallas over Nashville, 5-3 in Nashville. So that put Dallas up 3-2, and I think there's a game tomorrow night in that series, if I remember right. I'm not sure.
Actually, Chris, you're kind of out of order, because on Friday, Colorado eliminated Calgary.
Well, that's right, too. That was before the weekend, and you're right, Colorado. So we know that Colorado will play the winner of the San Jose-Vegas series, and that's right, Colorado beat Calgary. That's the other top team knocked out of the other conference. See, that's what my friend Rick said. He said he has trouble getting into the NBA playoffs because the teams that are supposed to win always win. In the NHL, it's much different. It's much more like baseball and football. You never know for sure. Get a hot pitcher, hot goalie, bounce of the football, whatever, and anything can happen. Whereas in basketball, it's basically cut and dry. Now we've got this thing with San Antonio. In Denver, but for the most part, it's basically cut and dried. You kind of know what's going to happen.
Right.
Okay. So moving on to Saturday, as I said, Dallas beat Nashville 3-2. So that puts them up 3-2. And the Blues beat Winnipeg 3-2. Finally, a home team won a game in that series. Oh, the first five games went to the road teams, but that put St. Louis over the top. They win it 4-2. That means they will play the winner of the Dallas Nashville series when that is decided. Washington wiped out Carolina 6-0. So Washington now leads 3-2. I think they're playing tomorrow night, if I recall. And then that was the Saturday games. And then the Sunday today, the Bruins stayed alive, part of a red letter day in Boston sports with the Celtics, Bruins, and Red Sox winning. The Bruins beat Toronto 4-2, and that was a good game. Of course, I heard more, but some of these others may have been good games too. But the Bruins dominated the first two periods. They had a 3-1 lead going into the third period. Toronto really did dominate most of the third period, made it 3-2. With about 2 minutes to go, they pulled the goalie, and there was a question by Bob Beers as to whether they did it a bit early for a one-goal game, and Toronto had been really dominating, but Bruins got the empty net goal, and that took care of it. But now the series will come back to Boston for Game 7. It's the third time, and the second year in a row. They met 13. They met last year, and they're meeting again this year, and there is no surprise that the Bruins and Toronto are playing 7 games. They're two of the best teams in the league. They just happen to be matched up the way the NHL does it. They'd be like 2-3 in the conference or something like that. So it's just they're in the division round, and that's the way it works in the NHL. And they're very evenly matched. So we're going to have a good game on Tuesday, either at 7 or 8 o'clock. That'll be determined later. But it'll be Tuesday night for sure. So check your local listings and all that. And then tonight we have the Sharks are playing the Vegas Golden Knights, and San Jose needs to survive by winning that game because they're behind 3-2. Again, they need to do what the Bruins did and go on the road and win that game. And last I heard, it was scoreless, but I don't know.
No, they're currently winning with about 12 minutes to go in the second period. It's 1-0.
Oh, that's right. The Sharks did score before the show started. You're correct. I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. Now for hockey notes, and Robert certainly can comment on any of these things. Elaine Vigneault is now the new coach in Philadelphia. He was in Vancouver and had the New York Rangers job. And he's got a good reputation, doesn't he?
And he also used to coach in Montreal.
Okay. Yeah. So so the flyer is going to take a flyer on him, shall we say.
Yes.
We did hear last week, we brought up about Mike Lang. He did make an appearance on, as the Penguins radio announcer, he did make an appearance on the fourth game. He had been hospitalized. So speculation is that he may be retiring. We don't know. He's 71 years old, so we'll see about that. Don't really know. Let's see. What else we got here? We have, okay. And he apparently was having some vision problems. And now we have Todd McClellan. Who's now
I know him rather well, Chris.
Yeah, he coached the Sharks, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, so, and so 5 years, $25 million to coach the Kings.
That's correct. And this is his third go-round because he coached 7 very good years in San Jose. When they let him go, I was quite disappointed. I was hoping Todd would stay. He's a very good coach. He went to Edmonton, and it was a total dumpster fire disaster. And now he's going to do a very good job. As a Sharks fan, I know how well he coaches. He's going to do a very good job with that L.A. Kings team. He will have the Kings back, and they'll be a threat to us once again. So believe me, I don't take him for granted. I know what I'm dealing with there.
All right. So any other hockey comments, Robert?
The only thing you don't have listed is Steve Yzerman, the former player of the Red Wings for 20 very good seasons, and, of course, Hockey Hall of Famer, won the Stanley Cup 3 times, and the former Tampa Bay GM. He is now the new general manager of the Detroit Red Wings. So he's back working with the Red Wings organization. And Ken Holland has moved upstairs to be the president. So between Ken Holland and Stevie Yzerman, and, of course, they already gave their coach a contract extension. So between the three of them, those of you that root for the winged wheel, I think you're on the right track.
Okay.
And we do have a couple of hands up, Chris. We'll go with Jerry's hand is up first, and then Dick will be up right after Jerry.
Okay, good evening, folks. Happy Easter. I have a couple of comments in regards to, it's neat that two of the original six with the Bruins and Toronto are in the playoffs, and that is neat. And, you know, it's a shame when athletes like DeMarcus Cousins, I get to thinking what John used to say, they can't get out of their own way, and that's the only comment that I have.
Yeah, it's not too happy for the Canadians, the fans in Canada. Toronto, if I'm right, Robert, is the only Canadian team left in there. So if the Bruins beat them on Tuesday, that's it for Canada.
That is correct, because Winnipeg is gone and Calgary is gone. So if Boston wins on Tuesday, well, Canada, you have to wait another year. And they haven't won
the Stanley Cup up there since 1993 with Canada.
That is correct, yep.
And I guess, as we'll get to Dick here in just one second, I guess the NHL does a bracket contest in the playoffs, and apparently so many brackets were popped with Calgary and Tampa gone, they're now going to let people have a second chance bracket. So that tells you how bad it's been. Dick, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys, I think it's really ironic that the Canadians weren't in it, the Red Wings, the Rangers and the Blackhawks, the three of the original six didn't make the playoffs. That's pretty interesting.
Only the Bruins and Maple Leaf did. Yeah.
Well, Dick, they all have different different ways they're doing things. Chicago, I think, is on the way back slowly but surely, but I think nothing against their new coach, but I think they're going to regret the day that they let Joe Quenneville go. But they've got a lot of salary cap decisions to make. The Rangers, they have a young coach, and they're starting to put younger players into the lineup. And it looked like towards the end of the season that they might be on the way back. And with Steve Yzerman now being the new GM and Ken Holland moving upstairs and them giving their coach, Jeff Blashill, a contract extension, I think Detroit is on the right track. Montreal, you really don't know what to think about them because they have this thing. When they want to hire a coach or a GM, they have to be able to speak both English and French. And when you limit yourself to the number of people that you can hire for those positions, I think it's a problem. But apparently that's what the owner, Jeff Molson, who runs Molson Canadian, that's his edict. If you're going to fire anybody, you have to hire people that speak two languages. So I don't know. I think that's going to become a problem. Now, Chris, you can comment on this because you've been around longer than I have. Has Montreal always been like that? Because I keep hearing more and more, if they want to make changes, that's one of the owner's requirements.
Well, I'm not sure that Scotty Bowman spoke French. I don't know. I don't know if he did or he didn't. So
yeah.
I was never aware. And he, of course, was a long time. Toe Blake, I think, did. I think he's the first coach of the Canadiens, I remember. But Scotty Bowman, of course, won many cups with them. I think that's like saying, well, we're not going to have any Japanese pitchers because we don't want to hire interpreters. I mean, it's pretty silly.
Yeah.
You can get an interpreter, and I get that it's, you know, and they're playing a bit to the French fan, the francophones, as they call them. I understand that, but I think that you're right. It is limiting, and if this was the United States, to be brought up on some kind of a thing for not considering some group or another, they'd be
exactly,
you know, how it is here. Okay.
I think Claude Ruel was another who was bilingual. But,
Sure. He is, and Claude Julien is too, but they're hamstrung with him. I mean, he's not that good a coach. I'm sorry. He won a Stanley Cup here, but I don't care. I never thought he was a good coach. I never liked the way he reacted.
Oh, great. The game, speaking of hockey, the game is now tied 1-1.
Okay. So. All right. But no, I never thought that Claude Julien was that good a coach, or Claude, as we were supposed to say. And so, no, I really, even though he won a Stanley Cup, that's great. But, I think he did it almost in spite of himself. And I really like Bruce Cassidy much better as a Bruin coach.
And Elaine Vigneault, of course, the new Flyers coach, is also a French-Canadian.
Right.
Of course, he's a former Montreal coach also. So
okay.
You know. And we can also, now that Robert's updated the hockey game, we'll give you a basketball update. It is 60-46 Raptors with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Okay. So it looks like the Raptors are going to take control of that series, if they get this win. Okay, I think we can move on to baseball.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do the standings as of this morning, this Easter day. We had Tampa Bay at 14-7 in the American League East, the Yankees at 10-10, Toronto at 10-12. We had the Red Sox at 8-13, finally out of last place, because the Orioles are in last place at 8-14, where they're supposed to be, you'd expect.
Yeah.
In the Central, Minnesota at 11-7. We have Cleveland at 12-8 going into today's action. Detroit at 9-10. Chicago at 8-11. And Kansas City at 7-14. In the West, Seattle 16-8. Houston 13-7, so both those teams doing very well. Texas 11-8. This is a tough division. Everybody's doing pretty well. They're over 500. Texas 11-8. Oakland 11-12. Not bad. And the Angels are 8-13. They're the one team that's kind of sliding below the radar a little bit. National, although it's way early for everything, but National League East of that 4-team race is continuing. Philadelphia went into today at 12-8. The Mets at 11-9. The Braves at 10-10. Washington at 9-10, and the Marlins at 6-15. The National League Central, Pittsburgh leading still at 12-6. Milwaukee at 13-9. St. Louis 11-9. The Cubs are at 9-10 going into today, and Cincinnati 8-12. And in the West, we had the Dodgers at 14-9, Arizona at 11-10, San Diego 11-11, Colorado 8-13, and the Giants at 8-14. And for today's scores, we had the Yankees beating Kansas City 7-6 in 10 innings. Minnesota over Baltimore 4-3. I think they swept that series.
They did. Other than today's game, Chris, and that doubleheader yesterday, they really blistered the Orioles.
Yeah,
that is correct.
Detroit over the White Sox 4-3. Washington beat Miami 5-0. San Francisco finally salvaged the last game of that series against the Pirates, winning 3-2. The Red Sox swept Tampa Bay 4-3, and this is something they needed to do. Houston and the Cubs have kind of done it a little bit to one degree or another. Houston definitely, and the Cubs to some degree. Red Sox needed to really sweep this series because the Rays had about an 8.5 game lead over them. Now it's down to 5, and hey, it's early, but wins are important in April too. So the Red Sox needed to do this, get a little momentum, and they've got the Tigers coming in this week, so we'll see what they can do with them. And they are out of last place, so we'll see. I mean, they still have their issues. The starting pitching was better. Bullpen has continued to pitch well. We had, and that was in 11 innings, by the way, that 4-3 Red Sox win. The Dodgers beat Milwaukee 6-5. St. Louis over the Mets 6-4. The Cubs beat Arizona 2-1, so they got back to 500 today. Texas over Houston in a wild one in Arlington 11-10. We had Colorado beat the Phillies 4-1. I heard that that was 3 out of 4 for the Rockies over the Phillies. As the Phillies went west, it didn't do too well. We had the Angels beat Seattle 8-6. But the story of the game was, I heard the end of this, the Seattle went into the ninth inning behind 8-1, and they got 3 home runs and 5 runs in that inning to make it a ball game. So 8-6 was the final there. We had San Diego beat Cincinnati 4-3. And we had Toronto over Oakland 5-4.
And they swept that series, Chris.
Okay, and the A's did get 3 in the 8 to make it close. But and one other thing, Robert, I want you to comment before we go to other notes on baseball, is the good Chris Davis was re-signed by the A's. Talk about that for a minute.
We have to differentiate between the good Chris Davis and the bad Chris Davis.
Like all good Chris's, his name starts with a C. So
yes.
That's how that works.
Yeah, we've talked about the bad Chris Davis on the show, but I'm very happy to say the good Chris Davis was re-signed by the A's. They got a 2-year contract extension for, I think it's $50 million over the next 2 years, or maybe that includes this year. But very good by the ownership, because they haven't wanted to spend money, and they have a good group of younger players, and it's time for this ownership. I understand the stadium situation. I don't live in the Bay Area, but I'm close enough to know what's going on, and I've been to the Coliseum numerous times, you know, over my lifetime, and it does need to be replaced. I understand they need a new stadium, but I am so sick and tired of this organization. Sure. Drafting good players, building up a good minor league system, they come on, they do well, and then when they get too expensive, they ship them out of town. This is a good group of players. They need to start spending money and keeping these guys.
Because am I wrong? I heard something, and I'm not sure how this works. Perry might know, too, that there's something about they didn't qualify for some national money, because national TV money or something, because they didn't spend enough. Is that true?
No. You're talking about revenue sharing.
Yeah.
After this year, the revenue sharing is going to go away for all the small market teams, because the A's, the Pirates, and there were a couple of Marlins and a couple of other teams that didn't spend enough money. So basically those teams that didn't spend enough money are no longer going to be eligible for that kind of money anymore. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And now would that even affect the Rays? You know, the Rays don't spend much money, but they somehow they do better. I don't understand how the Rays do it. Actually,
I don't think that's going to affect them, Chris, because their payroll is not that low.
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. No. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we have some other baseball notes. We had a death in baseball. Pete Peterson, who was a general manager, I'll run down his resume, is actually was known as Hardy Peterson. I remember hearing that name too. He played briefly for the Pirates between 55 and 59, but he spent 2 years in Korea. He was a catcher, but he didn't play very much. And then he went into the Pirate organization as a manager and scout. And he was the Pirate general manager from 76 through 85 and helped put together the championship team, the We Are Family team of 79. And then, let's see, what else did he do? He head of the farm system before that. Then he went to the Yankees, and he was the GM there in 1990. That would be back in the Stump Merrill era, and so that is forgettable by Yankee fans. And then he was a consultant after that with San Diego and Toronto, and he retired in 1995. So that was it for him. And I think that was that Chris Davis were our baseball notes for this.
Hold on, Robert. The Yankees continue. They continue injury central.
Oh, that's right.
Aaron Judge has been placed on the injured list, and I was listening to John Sterling and Susan Waltman today. And they ran down a whole lineup, and I forget exactly, you know, how they had everybody lined up. They had a whole team that they fielded on the field with the Yankee players on the disabled list. So clearly, right. The Yankees and the injured list, there's a lot of players on that injured list.
There is currently 13 on the injured list for the
New York. And they hung in pretty well. When you consider that, they're now over 500. And, you know, that's pretty good considering what they've had to go through. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good sign for them down the road when they get healthy. So
speaking of the Yankees, Gio Gonzalez opted out of his minor league deal. The Yankees have 48 hours to basically either put him on the roster or let him go. So we'll see what happens with that.
Okay.
The rumor that I heard there is they are probably going to let him go, and it sounds like the Brewers are interested in re-signing him.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So then we have a few college notes here. Will Wade was reinstated by LSU as their men's basketball coach. And that was that happened early this week. And that was because the judge in the trial, Perry, you had this story. The judge in the trial that's going on with the sneakers and the money, AAU, whatever the money, I don't even know who's involved in this, but apparently they didn't need testimony from Sean Miller from Arizona or from Will Wade, so they kind of
that is
got a pass. Yeah, and Joe Oliva was let go as the LSU athletic director, and Scott Woodward came in from Texas A&M, and apparently he's from Baton Rouge, and he's an LSU alumnus. And
there's questions on why he left Texas A&M, but that's to take that job within conference, even though, yes, he's alumnus, but there's a lot of questions going, is he tired of the infighting between alumnus with the Aggie alums, you know, some that wanted to be SEC, some that wanted to do other things, plus, you know, was he the type of guy to unite, so he figured he'd jump to his alma mater, which, you know, there's some dumpster fire there because there could be some, you know, some lawsuit implications. I think you're talking about with Will Wade, you know, like, you know, they may say you said that I did this and it didn't.
Yeah. Well, that may be why they wanted to switch horses here, because then they say, well, I didn't do it. You know, it's not me. And about, you know, how you do, I didn't hire this coach. I didn't choose this quarterback, the old, wasn't me, you know, so that might help a little bit, but yeah, it's tough though for a school like this. They were looking at, potential punishment. You know, if they didn't take him out there when he was under a cloud, they really would have been in a problem, because that's the NCAA does not look kindly on a school who doesn't react to this kind of stuff and allegedly enforce academic integrity, and as they say. And so that's kind of, I think they were kind of stuck because they didn't know what was going to happen. But as soon as they got the word, and that came up like Monday or so, Sunday or Monday, that he was coming back. And then it was like about Wednesday or Thursday that the judge said what he did. So obviously they, as Pierre said, in his message on the group, that they had to have known something, and they certainly did.
Yes.
So anyway, and so we have the NFL draft coming up this week. So anybody got any comments? You're not hearing much about it here because they have the 32nd pick. Well, so, you know.
Correct. And the NBA draft, for those who don't know, it starts on Thursday night, 8 o'clock.
The NFL.
Yeah, NFL, yeah.
And the NFL draft. And it'll air, I believe, is ESPN televise it, Sean?
And ABC will have an NFL Network.
No, ABC. I didn't know if ABC, if it was, I thought it was ESPN, Fox, and NFL Network.
No, ABC, NFL Network, and ESPN will do all 3 days.
Okay. Last year it was Fox. And
then we have, of course, if you get into audio, SiriusXM's NFL radio, they will have every pick as they do every year. And your sports radio station, your ESPN radio, Fox Sports, they'll all cover it.
But right.
Oh, yeah, they'll all be there.
The number one
story
pick
coming up.
Hold on. The number one pick is believed to be that the Arizona Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback. Now, whether they take him number one or they think that he'll be available so they can trade back a little bit if somebody else has a defensive player they want, that's a possibility, too, that I've heard later today.
Because that is the rumor that Cliff Kingsbury, that's the reason they hired him, because he knows how to develop a Kyler Murray type. So.
And I also heard the 49ers are going to select Nick Bosa with the second pick in the draft, so we'll see if that occurs.
And the other
according
big story
to
coming out of
the NFL Network, the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden and Mike Mayock sent their scouts because they didn't know who they could trust.
They basically have fired their entire scouting staff.
Well, this goes back. Gil Brandt talked about this. Apparently, they put a clip. Gil Brandt said, "You don't know who is a leak on the scouting team." So he referenced a deal in 1987 where they put out a little feeler just to mess with them, and they, you know, they told their scouting team, "Hey, we're looking at drafting linebacker Mike Junkett." And then 2 days later, Jim Dent, who wrote for the Dallas Morning News, came right in and said, "Hey, Cowboys are going to draft linebacker Mike Junkett." So he said, this happens a lot more than what you think. They basically sent him home for the weekend. They said, "We want to meet by ourselves," which is a way of saying, "Hey, you guys, we don't know who's going to leak because there's so much social media out there. And get out of here. We're talking."
Right.
Well, and it's more, well, Robert, it's more dysfunction in the greater nation is what it is.
I know. It took them forever to figure out that they needed to stay in Oakland for one more year. And believe me, I don't like the idea of my team moving away, but it's going to help my baseball team eventually get some kind of new stadium because, you know, otherwise – the A's or Tampa Bay will wind up moving somewhere else, and I just, you know.
Are you going to stay a Raider fan and listen to the great Brent Musburger?
No, I will stay a Raider fan, but I will listen to alternative broadcasts.
Everybody else but Brent Musburger.
Yeah, exactly. Because okay.
For anybody who wants to get in, you better hurry, because we have about a minute before Sean's going to do our plugs, and then we're going to turn it over to Bill for our feature.
That's right. We'll talk about Check the Topic for a minute before we do that. So, Sean, why don't you do the plugs now, unless somebody's got some hands. Yeah.
No, they do not. So go ahead, Sean.
Okay. Well, first of all, once again, if you want to listen to us, if you really want to hear this again, or if you know of anybody, download it at legendoldies.com or worldwide space legend in your podcatcher, or just say play worldwide legend podcast and your smart device and just select, keep saying next until you get Sports Lounge Live. Just like on the worldwide legend podcast, you just select Sports Lounge Live or 773-572-7715 or podcast number 4 on the talk shop. So I want to thank those folks. And yeah, and you know, also leave us a message at the 773-572-7715.
Now, if somebody wants to listen on the talk shop, how do they do that?
712-432-6498. And then it is podcast number 4. So yeah, that's the other place. But, and you know, it's interesting, this Chet Topic Mike North thing. They worked together, but there was a lot of animosity because Chet Topic, of course, the legendary, you know, sports caster working the business. Mike North, for a lot of you that don't know, he was basically a super fan. He was a super fan calling sports radio shows all over, and somehow he got in on several of the stations, and him and Topic butted heads when Topic was a host and he was a caller, and then Topic was like, wait a minute, where's it? And then of course they ended up working together and he gained a little bit of respect, but it was definitely good radio when they were caller and listener and then even working together, because you could tell there was a little bit of animosity even when they worked together.
We know that Chet Copic passed away this week. He was in a car accident on April 11th in South Carolina, and he died on Wednesday from the injuries that he sustained from that car accident in South Carolina.
He was a passenger, and he was almost 71. He would have been 71 right. years old on April 30th, almost to his birthday, his 71st birthday.
Are you guys ready to go with that?
So let's turn it over to
Bill. We're going to say goodbye to everybody for this week, we're going to be back next week with more info.
Bill's still working on Treasure Island Oldies, by the way.
He is, but nothing new to report right now. So Bill,
Robbie will play you some good music.
He will indeed. Okay, so time to head for Chicago Sportsland, Chicago Land Sports, whatever we want to say, and Chet Copic and Mike North.
I heard, you know, somebody on Fox, it was Lou Kanellis saying the godfather of sports talk in Chicago. Wow, he's the godfather of sports talk. I mean, in Chicago, anywhere else, here on NorthToNorth.com, we try new things. We have interviews and everything else. And we got the man, my guy, Chester Copic. By the way, you know, that's a microphone, my friend.
I had no idea. It's been so long, Mike, I had no idea.
Bring it up to your face, Chet. I don't know how good our reception is here. Corey Torf thinks it's very, very good. We got state-of-the-art equipment.
Listen, believe me, I have more faith in Corey than I have in you and I.
So what have you been doing? What's going on?
Well, Chet Copic is having a good time right now with the Chicago Blackhawks, working on their website, working with WLS, doing Notre Dame football and Notre Dame basketball. And I'll be debuting the Daily Copic in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And right now we're sort of checking out platforms. And I would advise the audience out there to keep the eyes on NorthToNorth.com, because, you know, you got two guys in here right now who share some common traits. One, we're hustlers. Two, we have great great passion for the business. And three, we currently believe that what you people are seeing over the air in the way of sports television, pop culture television, it is boring with a capital B.
You know what? And I don't want to, I'm not going to get into any personalities or whatever. People, you know, are happy to do what they want to do. But in the, if let's talk sports radio right now. I've never seen it at its weakest form. And I believe the people meters has encouraged it now. Where in the old days, the diaries, where people had to fill stuff out, you had to win them over.
Yeah,
now it's a different type of ball game, isn't it?
It is. It's much different. And let me bring up one point that, you know, you referred to earlier, Mike. You know, I take a lot of pride and I get a big kick out of being called the godfather of sports talk radio. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the genre moved on. As you recall, you know, my show was 4 hours a day, topic with a guest, flying solo. Mm-hmm. By the time I left to go to New York, and you were the first guy mm-hmm. who really was perceptive enough to recognize mm-hmm. that I was desperately in need of a change, mm-hmm. that the show had gotten somewhat lethargic to me. So New York was very inviting for me, just from the standpoint of kind of revitalizing myself.
I remember.
I always felt that you were the godfather of sports entertainment radio. That you were the first one who recognized that above and beyond guests, you had to have legitimate guy talk, you had to have pop culture, you had to have rock and roll, you needed Sinatra, you needed local politics, mm-hmm. you needed Jesse Jackson. And I give you all the credit in the world because you took what I had done and you moved it up another layer.
Well, now are they moving it up from what we did?
No, they're not.
I believe now it's at an opposite end here. And you know what? And that's not spoken out of bitterness or jealousy or anything. I'm a big fan of sports radio. I still do Fox Sports Radio nationally. Chet's still very much involved. I'm on WIND. Chet's on WLS. It's not like we went anywhere. I just think that, you know what? There used to be more production. There used to be more bits. There used to be more sound. It's now like they get in whatever time from 10 to 2, 2 to 6, whatever the hours are, Chet. They get in 10 minutes beforehand, made sure they read their papers, and really there's music going in and out, but there's not a whole lot of creativity anymore.
You know, I don't sense, Mike, that the competitive passion that we had, you know, go back to 91, 92, 93, 94.
War.
It's a war.
And you took it personally when the score started. You said, hey, you coming
well,
to
as,
me.
Well, as you recall, right. I was the first guy the score tried to hire.
Right.
And I remember, you know, being quoted in the Chicago Sun-Times, and I can laugh about this now because at the time, it was very much a jocular comment.
Yes,
when I said you were a guy who was ripping off the DaBears.
I know what you said because I was so proud that you said something that was on the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times. You said they got some hot dog a slinger, some 10th-rate George Wendt impersonator. That's what you said. I go, wait a minute. And you know this as well as I do. First, I said, Chet Copic, B, look at Chet Copic said that about me. How about that, huh? Now, this is like I'm 2 weeks from filling up the steam table with the hose. You know what I mean? I go, he said that about me. But then I got the whole idea, you know? And basically, George Wendt was us. It wasn't George Wendt that we were copying. They took our accents on Saturday Night Live. Every show, duh. We say duh, but we say it fast. The Bears. We don't say da Bears. They over-accentuate it, but they really stole the Chicagoese, didn't they?
No, nobody says the Bears.
No.
It's the Bears.
The Bears. Right. But they just said, okay, they say a DA, but they made it longer. It was a tough time. It was a fighting time. There was a lot of competition. I just don't sense the competition.
Well, Michael, also, if you go back and you look at television, and again, you know, this is not a game of let's diss the current media, but
no.
Think about the early 80s when I'm on Channel 5 with Tim Weigel on Channel 7, Johnny Morris on Channel 2. Every day was a war. The moment you got done with the 10, you got done, went back to your office.
And you guys almost exchanged blows at times.
We did.
Right?
I mean, we'd stand in the same room and we wouldn't even speak to each other. We wouldn't even acknowledge each other. I'm not saying that's necessarily good or necessarily bad, mm-hmm. but it was a fact of life that, I mean, the competition was fierce. Now, I just don't sense, I don't like pool feeds. I don't like the fact that, you know, here's Robert Marvin Bobby Hull doing a... Mm-hmm. A Christmas Carol the other night at the Chicago Theater. Mm-hmm. That's something where all reporters should have a crack at Bobby. He's got a funky outfit on from, you know, Charles Dickens.
Right.
Everybody should have a chance to kind of shine with that given moment. Instead, you get a pool feed, which means no runs, no hits, but very, very bland. I don't blame the anchors. I think Gian Greco is brilliant. Mm-hmm. I think Gian Greco writes to tape as well as anybody I've seen since the days of Bruce Roberts. I think this young kid, Hawes, on Channel 5 is going to make a name for himself. I mean, there are Dan Rohn. I'm not the biggest Dan Rohn fan in the world, but he's been there 20 years. He obviously has carved out a very, very good niche.
Right.
You know, people like what Dan Rohn does. His Q scores are obviously good, but I don't see competition, which seems to be the word that's becoming our word of immediacy in this give and take.
Yeah, when you stop and think about where you've been, I know this. I believe in your heart. Look, you can't be the best, and you can't think you're the best, okay, and want somebody else to think you're the best unless you think you're the best. There's no doubt in my mind. If somebody said tomorrow, check Kopic, 4 hours a day, sports radio. Do it stand on your head.
Sure.
I mean, so basically, right now, it's an homogenized deal. Do you think it's, I've always looked at this. How come Stern's big? Steve Dahl was huge. The entertainment disc jockeys, how come there's no top five sports DJs? Okay.
That's a good point.
To me one time.
It's a very good point.
You know, Mike, you're no Limbaugh. You're no Stern. Okay. You know what I said back? They're no North. I could do entertainment talk. But Steve Dahl once told me, he goes, Mike, remember when he went to MVP and they made him sports? He says, Mike, I never respected you more than when I had to start doing sports. He says it was tough for him because he wasn't a sports guy. Yet, when you know what? When sports tries to get into the news, news people get offended. But when the Bulls go to a championship, who's doing the story in front of the stadium? It's Ron Majors. It's somebody like that.
Right.
The news will cross over into sport.
Right. You know, if I was to go back over, 50 years of radio and television and pick out three or four top sports on-the-air entertainers.
Chris Russo's one of them, right?
Well, going locally, then nationally.
Locally? Okay.
Locally, one would be Harry Carey.
Right.
Two would be Mike North. Three would be Jack Brickhouse.
Wait, but if you're talking sports radio, it starts with you, and then people can put them where other people, wherever they want to put them. I mean, because you basically, you didn't have a sports station, but you did have...
I was on a country station.
Originally.
Yeah, WMAQ was a country station.
Right, and then you went to the Loop, and you were with a bunch of wackos. You were probably considered at one point, which is scary, folks... Maybe the most sane. Think about it.
Without question.
Right?
Because I was the only one there who was not certified.
Right. You had grandmother. You had Dahl. Right?
Yeah.
Who else was over there?
Kevin Matthews. Gary Meyer.
There had to be some. Bonaducci. Was he there?
We led the league in Prozac.
There had to be a man. And then you had, of course, Larry Wirt. Larry Wirt
Jim, there? Jim DeCastro and Larry Wirt.
DeCastro? You know, I always thought Jimmy DeCastro, now he started Dan Patrick. By the way, I love Dan Patrick. But you know what? Dan Patrick's show, I mean, it's nice. I mean, but it's really a radio show.
But it's not appointment radio.
Right.
You're not going to go out of your way to listen to Dan Patrick.
No. So, you know, I don't know what they're doing at Comcast. It's a good deal for him. Dan Patrick's one of those guys you have to respect. He left ESPN. With a year to go, I don't think they were going to re-sign him. I think he had something in the back of his head. He was probably sick of this, or I'm sick of this, but it doesn't look like, you know. It, since then, they've only got one mainstay, right? Chris Berman, maybe Bob Lee.
Yeah.
Everybody else are interchangeable over there. They don't make the anchors the main guys anymore like they did with Oberman and Pam.
Do you think Berman's act has gotten tired? Because
you know
I
what?
Do.
I think...
And it bothers me the way
he does, Chet, but then there's certain times he's still as good as there is. You know what I mean?
It bothers me on Sunday when I watch their pre.
He does the rhyme game.
That he just does not use Mike Ditka the way Mike Ditka should be used. Here is this fountain of knowledge. I think Ditka's personality is repressed behind that desk.
Well, there's no question. You got five guys on there. I think Chris Carter's fantastic.
Tremendous.
I think Tom Jackson's...
Excellent.
I think they could lose Keyshawn Johnson.
Lose him in a heartbeat. You wouldn't miss him for 10 seconds.
You wouldn't miss him. You could bring in somebody else for Keyshawn Johnson. Ditka, I think, is the bellwether. I think they looked at Ditka still as the guy that actually coached in a Super Bowl game, actually had a great team. I think Berman's a good traffic cop. He tries to get a little bit too cute, but I think he's perfect. I think Keyshawn Johnson on that is the only guy that I would change. I mean, I don't know. Michael Irvin, I watch the NFL Network. I just want to go like this.
I feel the same way about Eisen.
Could be, yeah. The NFL Network needs a little bit of help, but I will say this. The fact that those guys are all former players, and Howard Cosell did say this, the ex-Jack would kill broadcasting because they never step out against their own. Again, you'll hear me. Right. If I hear Michael Irvin ever talk out against Chad Ochocinco or Terrell Owens or Randy Moss, I may just have a coronary. I mean, they protect themselves, Chad. Where guys like us who don't have any interest in any of the game. I mean, I'm in my hometown. I used to love the Bears. Actually doing sports radio made me see the business side of it, made me almost hold the Bear organization in disdain. Before I got in sports radio, I was a Bear fan. But we have to delve deeper into what they do, and they don't do that on ESPN. They won't do that on the NFL Network because the NFL Network's paying them.
Well, the game will eventually. I tell this to younger kids, you know, I get this all the time, as do you. You know, Mr. North, Mr. Kopic, I want to be a broadcaster. How do I go about doing it? Or, you know, kids will ask me during the course of an interview, what do you like best about your job? And I'll tell them, here is what I don't like about my job. Overtime, rain delays, 95-degree heat, twilight doubleheaders, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the job does, as much as you love the job,
right,
and as much passion as you and I both have for what we do,
mm-hmm,
if you aren't constantly evolving and revitalizing your personality, like, for example, with what I'm doing right now with the Daily Kopic,
mm-hmm,
it's only about 30% sports. The rest of it is politics, rock and roll, pop culture, this day in history. I don't think you can just do pure sports and hold an audience.
ChetKopic.com, and what's so amazing about that is we've been doing the same thing with the 5-minute half-hour news. It's almost
which is
the same.
Tremendous.
Yeah, we have
it
a good time. And I'm looking forward to seeing the daily Kopic. If people don't know what the strength behind the web is, then, you know, then you're sparking up the wrong team. Sure, it's good to be a personality, but the guys that do the work, the heavy lifting, are the techs. There's no question about that.
You know, Michael, for example, in my case, I have a wonderful lady named Vivian Bush, strong social media background, is working side by side with me. But the key to our operation is a 22-year-old kid named Alex Hughes, who I swear is so creative, so energized, he's going to be a millionaire by the time he's 26.
Well, hopefully because you'll get a taste.
Exactly. You know,
you're hanging on. How old is he? You gotta hang on. 26.
I'm holding on for dear life. Believe me. You know, I'm going for the horse collar with this kid.
Right. Well, you know what? I think it's an interesting medium, and you know what? That's why I'm glad you came out today. We're going to do more of this stuff. And you know what, Chet?
I love this room. I feel like I'm in conference with Don Vito Corleone.
You remind me of Senator Gary, Vito Corleone. Remember when he turned the cannon on Michael? Remember he had a little toy cannon?
Oh, yeah.
That was a mistake. That was a definite mistake. If I have to do all over again, I'm telling Senator Gary, please don't turn the cannon. Do not turn the little Mr. Don't turn the cannon. Chet Kopic, it's ChetKopic.com, right?
You got it, my man.
And you do the NHL stuff for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right.
The old interview, saw the Bobby Hull tape this morning as we were looking at Chet's site. Check it out, ChetKopic.com. Mike North here on NorthToNorth.com with my buddy Chet Kopic. Talk to everybody later on.
NorthToNorth.com, it doesn't get any better. You heard it here first. Every day, NorthToNorth.com, something new, something that's going to rock your house, something you are going to dig. Take it right to the bank.
That's a promo.